Good morning, everyone.
Hello.
It's great to have you with us this morning. Thank you for slipping and sliding your way here today. Delighted to have you here. Last week, something unique happened, and it wasn't unique in the sense that I didn't realize it, because it happens to me all the time being up here preaching. Several people after the sermon last week said, "Man, you were looking right at me when you were preaching." And I appreciate that that probably doesn't always feel great, unless I'm saying something like, "You're the most amazing person in the world, and I'm looking straight at you," then okay, that's great. But my confession is this: I can be looking right at someone, right in their eyes, and I apologize, and this is confession time. I don't see you. I can even be nodding my head and looking at you. Now, if I take my glasses off, I really can't see you now. But if I have my glasses on and I'm looking at you, please don't think I'm preaching to you. I really don't see you. I just was sort of trained years and years ago that when you're preaching, look at people and so forth. And I do. But my mind is where God is leading me. And so there's the apology. So please don't feel uncomfortable this way. We started preaching this series talking about rebuilding our spiritual lives. And I think there are times in all of our lives where we feel so close to God and we just want to always feel that way forever, and yet life happens and sometimes we just wonder where that spark went. Is that just me, or do we all kind of feel that way sometimes? And there are times, I think, in our life when we feel like, wow, I'm going to feel this close to God forever and forever and forever. And then, you know, a week or two go by, you go, where did that feeling go? And I know that as Christians, we don't just live our entire life based on feelings, but there is something important to getting a fresh vision. I want to be able to see God clearly, don't you? Getting a fresh vision of God. And sometimes I really don't see God as clearly as I'd like to. And I hope that today we can just be reminded of that. I want to show a video, and you'll get the point. So if there's any strength to the lesson at all today, it's putting yourself in other people's shoes. It doesn't matter of our gender. Can you imagine either being with Moses or being Moses and being called up to a mountain to spend some time with God? And here's how Paul puts this, talking about the new law, the gift of the Spirit, as compared to the old law. But really, the strength of it is in seeing God. And he uses one word over and over again in this passage, a word that we don't use in our society very much anymore, because I think it's complex in meaning. It's the word glory. There's just so much power to that word. Okay, enough talk. I'll just go with me. 2 Corinthians 3, starting in verse 7. "Now, if the old law, the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters of stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, transitory though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious?" I'm just going to stop. I'm going to keep reading in just a moment. So if you remember the story, Moses goes up on the mountain and spends time with God. And he receives the commands. He makes his way down to the people, and his face is full of glory, actually radiating such powerful, glowing light that the people of Israel can't look at him. It's too bright. And so he has to put a veil because he has been in God's very presence. Now that's the historical part. What about this part? Think of the day that you and I will see God face to face. Have you ever stopped to think about Moses just caught a bit of God's glory. What will it be like when you and I see the face of God? And the writer here, Paul, thinks of that and then talks about how important it is to live in this time of grace, this time of love, this time of redemption. So I'm just going to keep reading. In verse 8, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness, exclamation point, meaning all things right. For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was transitory came with glory, how much greater is the glory which lasts? Exclamation point. The time that we are now in. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull. For to this very day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It was not removed because only in Christ is that veil taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers people's hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, that veil is removed. Now, if the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Now let me ask all of us, do you really feel that you're being transformed into the image of Christ Himself? Because Christ is telling us that we are. But we can pull back from that. It's almost as if God sometimes is inviting us up the mountain to spend some time with Moses, and we go, catch you a bit later. I got things to do right now. I can't really get there right now. And maybe that's just a ridiculous thing to say, except I think that's what happens in life. What is the sole purpose of a human being? And maybe there's going to be multiple answers to that, but I like the shorter catechism because I think it's right. The sole purpose of humankind is to know and love God and enjoy Him forever. That when we get up in the morning, it's because of God. The very fact that He created us, that He's always with us, and that one day we will see Him face to face. The glory of God that He pours out to us. But we can forget. And I think that happens to many people, even spiritual people. I want to go back and read a story that some of us know, way back in Isaiah chapter 6. This is an amazing story. So Isaiah is a prophet of God. And by the way, sidebar, if you ever want to know something about Jesus in the Old Testament, read Isaiah. Especially if you want to read Isaiah chapter 40 all the way to the end of the book, it's just full of Jesus. It's full of the redemption story. It's full of the new heaven and the new earth. It's full of the redemption of all things, of all times. And Isaiah is going to write all of this down. If anyone can be optimistic and positive and have the glory of God, it's Isaiah. But Isaiah needed to rebuild his spiritual life because it got cold. There was a veil. And things happened politically in his life that dropped the bomb of depression on his heart. And the bright glory of God faded for a while. Do we live in a time like that? Now watch what happens. Isaiah chapter 6 in verse 1, and I'm going to stop mid-sentence. In the year that King Uzziah died, then there's a comma. That's where we stop. There's more to it than just saying, that's the time that this happened to me, Isaiah said. No, King Uzziah was a swashbuckling military hero. He was one of the few leaders of Israel that people actually love and trusted. He was a good, good person. And when he died, the light and the glory of Israel seemed to fade in the hearts of many Israelites, even prophets of God, one being Isaiah. He was depressed, and he needed to rebuild his spiritual life. And here's what happened to him. Place yourself, if you will, in the shoes or the presence of Isaiah. Here it comes. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. I'm going to stop. I don't know how you see that, but do you remember the movie Scrooge, A Christmas Carol, the old one with Alistair Sim? I think it was The Ghost of Christmas Present, and he's laughing, and he's a big, big, jovial, happy man, and Scrooge is terrified, and the ghost is saying, come, come closer, know me better, man, come closer, and come closer. And when Scrooge walks in the room, his eyes get so big, here's this big, majestic ghost. Here he is, full of good gifts, treasures, and everything else. And then there's this dialogue going along. And then this happy, jovial ghost stops and becomes stern and says to Scrooge, we do not follow the Christ child only one day of the year. We rejoice in him all 365 days of the year. Scrooge, you have chosen not to know him. But for those who are willing to choose to know him, an ongoing knowledge of God. And how many of us have been Christians? And every year we go, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. There's so much more to know. Isaiah was depressed. He saw God. And he was seated high. And the train of his robe filled the temple. And above him were seraphs with six wings. I can't comprehend it. With two wings, they covered their faces, and with two, they covered their feet, and with two, they were flying, and they were all calling to one another, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And at the sound of their voices, the doorposts, the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. And here's why. Woe, he said, woe to me, I cried. I am ruined. I am a man of unclean lips. In other words, I'm a prophet. I preach a lot. I talk a lot. But I missed it. I missed the most important. I live among people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which is taken with tongs from the altar. And with it, he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin is atoned for. And then I heard the voice of God saying, just making a statement, God speaking, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here I am. Send me. He rebuilt his life just like that, and he never looked back. He got a vision of God in his eyes, and his heart changed forever. Why didn't I see this all my life? Maybe Isaiah was saying. And it's helping him to be the wonderful prophet that he became. So today's lesson, we've just talked a little bit about being encouraged and seeing that even though there's darkness around us, there's sunshine that we can bring into the world. And that getting a vision of God is helpful, as Moses did and as Isaiah did. And one of the great things that we can do is also get a vision of one another. And I conclude with this today. In Romans chapter 12, this is a little bit of a lengthy reading, but it really is beautiful. So when Paul is writing this very highly intellectual letter to the book, to call the book of Romans, he kind of pulls together all of his rhetoric and just kind of stops for a moment. And he pulls all of us together. And if that's confusing, I mean this. I think one of the things Paul might be saying if he was standing here today was this. Okay, now, we've all caught a vision of God. And you remember Paul caught a vision of Jesus? You know, we all caught a vision of God. Yeah, I was dark for a while. Now I see God. Well, one of the best ways that we see God is by seeing each other. We need each other. But we also need to be an encouragement for others so that they can see God and so that they can encourage others. And Paul pulls all of us together, but he does not say we're all alike. He said, in fact, just the opposite. We're all different. And because we're all different, we can come together and pool our resources and be the very living presence of God. It's true. If we read the Bible, what does God look like? And we say, look at Jesus. Would we dare answer the question, what does God look like today? We'll look at the church. Well, we try. And here are these words, beautiful words from Paul. Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 3. For the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of us. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we though many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts, talents, according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, preaching, then preach in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then we give generously. If it's to lead, do it, and do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do so cheerfully. Love must be authentic. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another, even above ourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Serving the Lord, and maybe based on today's lesson, we can also say, and in seeing the Lord through the eyes of Isaiah and other people. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. And mourn. Come alongside others who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of a lower position. Do not think that you are superior. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it's written, it is mine to take care of these things. I'll repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, and this is a strange saying, you will heap burning coals on his head. Another way of putting that, kill him with kindness, but make it authentic kindness. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And maybe overcome sometimes our spiritual lethargy by getting a vision of God. And if you wonder what that might look like, go up the mountain with Moses. And if you wonder what that might look like, dream the dream of Isaiah. And if you want to know what that looks like, remember the day that you couldn't help but commit yourself to Jesus Christ because you knew it was the most important thing you would do in your life. Remember those feelings. Remember those thoughts. And for those of you who are contemplating the Lord Jesus, if you give yourself to him, you'll realize that you're giving yourself to the one who gave you life. Never been a moment in your life when he hasn't known you. And he's always beckoning each one of us to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you and we love you. And in this time of the year, here in Canada especially, when the weather can sometimes be difficult and we don't see the sun as often as we'd like and we don't have the energy that we would like, may we receive all of it, the sunshine, the goodness, the glory, just by spending time with you. May our spiritual faces glow because you live in us. And Father, for those who are in this room today who are contemplating giving themselves to you, please give them the courage to reach out. And may we respond to them, as was said in Romans, by being there for one another, coming alongside one another, listening and sharing our hearts with each other as you share your heart with us. Through Jesus Christ. Amen.